Hello, welcome to Media News Podcast. My name is Frederike Geerdink. I'm an independent journalist. And I'm talking this morning to Mr. Adem Uzun, who is founding member and spokesperson for the Kurdish National Congress. We're talking about several developments going on in Kurdistan at the moment, rather impactful developments. Thank you, Mr. Adem Uzun, for agreeing to be my guest in this special episode of Media News Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
We'll be talking some half an hour maybe about what's happening in Kurdistan. And I would like to start with how the Kurdish issue has made it really to international headlines. It doesn't happen that often. Turkey tries to force Sweden and Finland, but especially Sweden, to crack down on peaceful Kurdish politics and activism before it agrees for these countries to join NATO. Turkey is using lies to manipulate the public, for example, saying that especially Sweden is financing the YPJ in Syria and the PKK in Turkey and Iraq, and sending weapons to Kurdish armed forces, demanding that these countries stop doing so. And Turkey is not easily bowing to pressure from other NATO countries, obviously utilizing the Ukrainian war to try to hold on to power in Turkey and advance its war against armed Kurdish forces and against peaceful activism. Which effects do you expect in the short and the long term to the handling of the Kurdish issue in Turkey and by NATO?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. The discussions around the Turkish policy, especially with the AKP, has increased in the last years because the AKP is trying to benefit from the crisis which we have now in Middle East, not only in Middle East, in general, economical crisis by the capitalist modernity, the social crisis, the crisis we have now in Middle East, then the new crisis with Ukraine, occupation by Russia. So they are trying to benefit from all these crises, and the AKP is somehow good in that. Just giving some examples. You know, when the international conspiracy against our leader Abdullah Öcalan was, and he was arrested in Turkey, brought to Turkey, he had some negotiations process with some Turkish officials, and we expected that these negotiations process will go well. But the AKP at the time when they get in power, they saw after the 9/11, the world has decided to have a war against terror. Then they have pushed the European Union to put the PKK on the terrorist list in May 2002. So the AKP came to the conclusion, come to the end. Yes, there is in a war against terror internationally, and I'm officially a part of this international coalition. Why should I have any negotiations process with the Kurds? They stopped everything and they went to the war. So they used this war against terror, which was set by the US and followed by the European Union. So they want to benefit from. And we faced a big war after that. And now we are facing the same as AKP is thinking. There is new opportunity with the war in Ukraine, with the withdrawal from US, from Afghanistan, with the vacuum in Middle East, and with the crisis in Middle East and around the world. Everybody is now occupied with itself. So that is an opportunity to start again a military campaign against the Kurds, to fulfill the massacre which was set by the creation of Turkey in 1923. So, and now the situation and the crisis we have around NATO with Sweden and Finland is part of this. Why? Because Turkey is thinking NATO is going to be more strong. NATO is going to have a new strategic paper, which will be discussed on the 27th and 28th of June in Spain. So Turkey is pushing the NATO to have a new agreement, like the agreement they have, Chapter 5. And this Chapter 5 is saying if a NATO country is attacked by any other country, then all the NATO countries have to support that country which is under the attack. Turkey want to have a new one related to terrorism. So therefore they are pushing and saying, you have to support my campaign against the Kurdish resistance movement. You have to support my war against the Kurds. You have to keep silent when I use all the kind of war against the Kurds.
Sorry to interfere, but is that something you speculate that Turkey wants that, or have you heard it? And when I hear you say what Turkey wants, that's already what Turkey gets. NATO doesn't interfere when Turkey is at war with the Kurds. So they already have that, right?
Yeah. You're right. Turkey is a member of NATO, and all the war is with the support and with the silence by NATO is going on. You're right. But now they want to have an agreement on that. So if they have an official agreement on that, like the Chapter 5, then they will fulfill their massacre campaign against the Kurds, which they did the same against the Armenians, Syrians, Kurds in the creation of Turkey. Turkey is saying, I'm now facing the same situation when Ottoman Empire collapsed and the new Turkey was created. I could create the new Turkey only after I have massacred Armenians. So I have now to protect Turkey and to fulfill my Ottoman Empire dream only if I get rid of the Kurds.
Is this something you speculate about, or have you heard that Turkey wants this? What do you base this on?
That is in a decision from the Turkish state, which was taken on August 2014 in the Security National Council.
Yes, 14 already.
The strategy, the ideology of Turkey is based on that. But there will be some lag in that strategy sometimes. But on August 2014, they decided to go ahead with that policy. So therefore, they are pushing everything. They're using every single opportunity and to go ahead with that policy. So, and this new policy, I'm in Europe. I know what kind of attitude, what kind of behavior Sweden, Finland, and some European countries towards the Kurdish resistance movement has, towards the Kurds have. They are not supporting Kurdish resistance movement. They are not giving any opportunities or any help to the Kurdish resistance movement or to the Kurds. The Kurds who are here, they have some rights, which is mentioned in the UN, because they were being forced to leave their country and they become refugees. I'm not happy to be a refugee here in Europe. I want to be in my country, but in my country, because there is a fascist and dictator and autocratic regime, I came here to find security, to be protected. And the help what Sweden and Finland and other European countries are giving to the Kurds or to others, not only to the Kurds, is related to that right, which is mentioned in the UN.
It's not about supporting Kurdish movements at all.
No. When it comes to their own interests, they're supporting the Turkish state. It's the state-to-state relation. Listen, after this propaganda and attack by Erdogan, towards NATO and towards European countries and towards Sweden and Finland. You know, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Germany, UK, they have lifted the weapon embargo against Turkey, on Turkey. They had a weapon embargo when Turkey started its occupation operation in 2019 in Rojava, Serikani, and Grisbi. But now, because the interests are more important for them, they have lifted that embargo. Yeah. So the Turkey is using everything. And it's not only using, it's not making only pressure on the NATO, and the NATO Secretary for General of the NATO is more supportive for the Turkish demand than Erdogan. Really, he's using every single opportunity to pressure Finland and Sweden to give up their democratic values, to give up the right of freedom, to give up right of expression, to give up right of democracy. So he by himself is pushing these countries to give up all these gains what the societies have gained, even in those European countries.
And so, are you afraid they will crack down on these rights, especially Sweden?
It seems like that. They may not extradite some Kurds to Turkey. That's impossible. They may not do that. Yeah. But on the military side, on the economic side, on the diplomatic side, and they will be supportive for Turkey.
Yeah, but let me get back to Kurdistan. Because Turkey has also been threatening now, you already spoke about it, about Rojava, northeast Syria. It seems their first aim is Tel Gifat and Manbij, west of the Euphrates River. What will the consequences of a new occupation by Turkey in northeast Syria be?
For the Kurds, it will be a disaster.
For Arabs, because Manbij is an Arab city, of course, but...
Yes, for the Arabs, for the Syria itself, for Iran itself. So it will destabilize the area again. Daesh will raise up again. The radical Islamists, which will be more encouraged to go ahead with their campaign. And civilian will be massacred by mass. Ethnic cleansing we will face an ethnic cleansing, we will face a demographic change, we will face a new massacre, and the international law will collapse, the international coalition will collapse, and any Kurdish status it will become very difficult. But that is the plan of Turkey. That doesn't mean everything will go like the Turks have foreseen it or have planned it. Mm-hmm. Of course, there will be a big resistance against it. They will be, and the Kurds are ready. And the Kurds have not to lose what they can lose. They can only lose their freedom. They can only lose their country. So not to lose that, the Kurds will resist.
Yeah, it's already, you already got into it a little bit because it's very existential for Turkey. It looks like it. And we all know that people who fight the Kurdish struggle, the Kurds themselves, those who follow it like me, it's not really a surprise that Turkey uses the current situation in the world to its advantage. But why is this issue so essential to Turkey? You already spoke a little bit about 100 years ago, 1923, when the Turkish Republic was founded, the different treaties at the time. Why is it so crucial for Turkey to keep the Kurds under control?
You know, the Turkey's, the establishment of Turkey is based of denial of the Kurds. So it's a nationalist state. It's based on one flag, one nation, one language, one. So it's a racist one. And it's a nation state. And Turkey thinks if the Kurds can have any status in Middle East, then Turkey will become little. When Ottoman Empire collapsed, Turkey become little. If now the new plan of Turkey collapse, maybe Turkey will become smaller. That is the first reason. The second one is Erdogan wants to be re-elected again. In June 2023. So he can be elected only if he has some gains against the Kurds. Doesn't matter where, in Bashur, in Rojava, or in Bakur, in Turkish part of Kurdistan. And he will go ahead with the ban of HDP. He will go ahead with his occupation operation in Rojava. He will continue his occupation operation in Iraqi Kurdistan. So he will do that to be re-elected.
But it's also interesting that you also mentioned the territory that Turkey currently has, and that Turkey is afraid that it will get smaller. But we know that the Kurdish movement is not after, you know, it's not a separatist organization. They don't want to cut Turkey. They want democracy for the whole of Turkey and the bigger region. And this is also related to the Oslo peace talks. You've been a member of the PKK delegation at the time. And this is, of course, the project of the PKK and of Abdullah Öcalan to have a more decentralized democracy, and not to break up the countries that the Kurds live in, but just to democratize them. Apparently, this idea doesn't really get through to Turkey, and I was wondering, because Kurds are always pressuring on breaking the isolation that Öcalan is in, and to make him a part of the negotiation of the conversation again. There's no negotiation, but I was wondering, can Öcalan again play a role as he did before? Because this idea of decentralization, of not being separatist but about grassroots democracy, can it still play a role? Because obviously we are in this situation we are in now. It's very violent at the time. So how do you see this? Can he still play a role?
Yes, I was the facilitator for Oslo negotiations process. I attended all these talks as a facilitator. I know very well what kind of strategy, what kind of attitude and tactic the Turks have, their last position is. Their last position is they do not want to have any solution for the Kurdish question. All the discussions by the Turks were being based how to get rid of the arm wing, how to have a ceasefire. When the Kurdish delegation asked the Turks, okay, and ceasefire and withdrawal of the guerrillas from Turkey and giving the arms, okay, we can discuss it. But should we not discuss about the social issue, about the political issue, about environment issue, about women issue, about councils, about the sources over there, about an autonomy in the region? What are you thinking for the Kurdish rights? They said, we can discuss that after. Let's discuss this after. So they didn't touch any discussion on the social, political, cultural, economical, and grassroots democracy and autonomy and so.
Well, for you, this is these are essential points, of course.
Of course. Yes. And because their aim was not to discuss all these, the aim was only to use that as an opportunity to get rid the Kurdish armed forces, to have to continue their policies they have since the creation of Turkey. That is the one side. The second one, you know, the project of our leader Öcalan is if we consider as an truth, as a truth, the truth he is proposing is a social one, a political one, a historical one, based on gender equality, based on ecology, and so on. So the truths he is proposing is more advanced, more progressive, more bigger than the truths what we have now with the nation states, comparing to the nation states. So the nation states, what they are proposing for the nations, for the groups, for the women, for the social life, they are proposing nothing. They're just trying to have more war, trying to crack down the women rights, try to crack down the social rights, and base everything on nationalism, racism, and sexism. That is the truth what they have now, and that truth, the people are not happy with that truth, with that truth from nation state. Not only the Kurds, even other peoples in Middle East, in all the world, are not happy with it. They cannot have that truth as a solution for their questions, for their problems, for their ambitions, for their dreams, for their rights. And Öcalan is now proposing a new truth which can fulfill, which can give hope, which can give the peoples the hope, yes, we can have more democracy, yes, we can have more ecological rights, yes, we can have more women rights, yes, we can have more democratic rights, yes, we can have more fundamental rights, yes, we can have more freedom, yes, we can have coexistence, we can love each other, we can live together. That is a truth which is more bigger than the truth from the nation state comparing to that.
And this this is also connected. You want to break the isolation of Öcalan, and this is connected, I think, to this global day of action that is upcoming on 11 June. That is eventually the goal, to break this isolation, and it's followed by a march in Turkey, in Gemlik, West Turkey. Gemlik, for listeners who don't know, is the place in Bursa province where the boat to İmralı prison island leaves, where Öcalan remains in prison. Could you explain the purpose of this global day of action and the march in Gemlik?
Yes. First, the global action day on 11 June. You know, when Turks started again their occupation operation in Iraqi Kurdistan, there have been a lot of discussions among the international area, and the friends and the internationalists in Latin America, they said that is a new campaign against the Kurds. Yes, but also this is a campaign against the hope of revolution, hope of freedom. So therefore, we are calling a global action day to defend Kurdistan, to defend the revolution, because we are seeing that as our own revolution too. It's inspiring us, it's giving us hope. So therefore, they made this proposal, and that proposal was accepted by all the other friends of the Kurds, or all the other internationals, by all the other progressive crises. So they decided to go on the streets worldwide, even in Kurdistan, on the 11th of June, with the slogan "Defend Kurdistan, Defend the Kurdistan Revolution." It will be a global action day. And on the 12th of June, people will have a march to Gemlik. Gemlik is the place very close to Imralı Island. Imralı Island is belong to this district. They want to give the message, we do not want to see that isolation continue. We really want to have some news from our leader. We really want him to come to voice with his solution for democracy, for peace, and for grassroots democracy. And we do not, we are not accepting and agree with this policy led by Erdogan, this fascist policy and this anti-democratic policy, which is prevented the rights of everybody. Yes. Rights. So therefore, this demonstration or this march is set up. With that
probably in Turkey, the police will stop it, right? They will not allow it.
They will not allow it, but people will resist. People yes. will people will insist to continue their march, which are they're doing everywhere. So Turkey is not allowing not only the Kurds to having anything on demonstration. They are not allowing anybody, doesn't matter Kurds or not Kurds. That is the character of autocracy and dictator to crack down every voice, every single move for democracy. So they are doing that. Just giving an example. So Turkey is even here in Europe. They cannot prevent the Kurdish demonstrations. Okay, they have not that power, enough power.
Yes.
What they're doing, if we have any demonstration here in Italy or in Belgium, they're calling the ambassador for Italy or for Belgium in Turkey to give him a nota, to accusing him. So they're even trying to crack down the voice of democracy in Europe too.
Yeah,
so they're using everything to keep the people silent. And the march on 11th, the march on the 12th to Gemlik will try to break it. And if they try to prevent it, they will insist to go ahead with their march.
Thank you very much. This was very insightful indeed. Thank you, Adem Uzun, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.